It's time to tantalize your taste buds. It's time to fork this with Intoxicate. Here is Kate.
Welcome to Fork This with Intoxicate. I am your host, Intoxicate Kate Spuntz, diving into all things delicious in Westchester and Fairfield counties. And we meet here every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com. I am so excited right now. I'm just buzzing away because I have spent the past couple of weeks really with my head down planning some very cool events in 2020. And we're going to work together to learn some new things, to expand our palates a little bit. And I'm going to try to do some things that are a little bit different than what some of the other people are doing. You know, when I launched Intoxicate 6 years ago, I started doing events and dinners and created all this kind of buzz around it. And, you know, like all things that, you know, work in these days, many people have popped up doing the same thing. So I am always trying to bring you new and different experiences. And I'm very excited to announce the Cocktail Club, the Intoxicate Cocktail Club, which will meet every third Tuesday at a different restaurant in Westchester or Fairfield County. And we will be exploring different spirits. We will be exploring different wine, and we will be exploring different beer brands together. And it's a really super great price point, only $40 per person to you know, try new things, taste some new bites at a restaurant, and really kind of think outside the box, or should I say drink outside the box. And, you know, I have to tell you that this all kind of cultivated from my background when I was growing up in Syracuse. So when I was growing up, every once in a while, my grandmother and grandfather would watch me. They were my mom's parents, and they lived pretty close by. And they were very, very cool people, like two very cool people. Grams and Gramps would take disco lessons, and they would have all these disco records, and they would play them for us, and they would dance, and we would dance, and of course get yelled at for skipping the record because we're jumping around to Jive Talking and the Bee Gees. But the one thing that I remember, and I just spoke to my grandmother about this, and she was laughing because, you know, she's leaving this legacy behind, and of course she doesn't want this to be her legacy, but it's one of the things that I thought was really cool about them is that they always stopped between around 3 to 4 p.m. on the weekends and had their cocktail hour. And as kids, we would be so excited about this because while they were making their Manhattans and sometimes whiskey sours made with their favorite Canadian whiskey, they would make Shirley Temples for the kids. So it wasn't pretty, it wasn't the act of actually drinking. It was the act of really stopping between that time and kind of sitting down as a family and talking and chatting and like being very present in the moment. And I really loved that. And I remember it so well because, you know, we as kids were running around and we're playing dress up in grandma's clothes and we're up in her room at her makeup table putting our makeup on. I can remember doing all these things and just running around outside like crazy. And they had a very big tree in the backyard that had a tire swing. So there were all these things that we were doing. But at that time, they would make such a point of cocktail hour, and we would all come in and we would all be together and we would all stop and talk. And I think it stands out for me now because there's not a lot of time that we have these days. I feel like time is becoming this invaluable element in our lives that we're constantly racing against time when we're constantly working and trying to get everything done. And in 2020, I'm really trying to make an effort to stay more present and to learn more. And I think Intoxicate's Cocktail Club does both of that. It's kind of stopping for a second and, you know, getting your friends together, getting your husband and wife together and getting together and stopping and learning about a new spirit. And I have to tell you, with some of the Intoxicate VIP dinners in the past, and even speaking to various bartenders throughout Westchester County, both off air and on air, you know, I always have people say to me that they always go to the bar and order the same thing. And if you really think about it, yes, we order the same thing because we like something. We have a particular taste for something. But, you know, what happens when we try something new? And what happens if we kind of start drinking outside the box? I will tell you, when I first started going to my country club, I started speaking to the bartender there, Aliza, who I absolutely love. And we would have these long conversations about cocktails and, you know, the rise of these old-fashioned classic cocktails and the twists that people put on them, you know, because she has been in the industry for a very long time and used to work in Manhattan. So, you know, having that different, you know, it's a lot of people that go to our country club are from Manhattan, but it's a different kind of experience because generally in Manhattan, she had a specific clientele and with a country club, you have a variety of people there. So I was talking to her about what's popular, and I was asking her about her favorite spirit. And at the time, I was, you know, huge vodka tequila girl. And she said to me, you know, you really should try gin. And I have the type of very fortunate position where whether people are coming on air to talk about a brand or I'm going to events or I'm being invited to tastings, I get the opportunity to taste a lot of different brands of spirits. So because of that, because I've had the opportunity to taste so many different things out there, I kind of know what I like and what I don't like. And Lisa really helped open my eyes to gin because she said her favorite spirit was gin. And so she would make all these different gin cocktails for me with different brands and, you know, different mixers. And I became a huge gin lover. And I have to say, like, I think, you know, when I first tried gin, it was at a time where there wasn't a lot of gin brands out there. And they had that very juniper herbal taste to them. And there's so many brands on the market that are so much smoother and have different herbal flavors coming to the forefront. So you don't get that strong juniper flavor. So it makes it, you know, for me at least, you know, something that I really can love and dive into. So I think really I want people to start exploring and learning more. And with a ticket price like $40 per ticket, and you're getting a tasting on its own, plus two cocktail recipes, learning the demos, drinking those cocktails, you know, you're going to get light bites at the restaurant. You know, it's not a huge investment to kind of expand your knowledge. And hey, if you don't like it, there's always next month to try something new. So I'm really, really excited about this program. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And you know what? I have to tell you, I am very, very blessed with Intoxicate events and Intoxicate followers. We always have such a fabulous group that comes. Everyone kind of comes in as strangers. Everyone leaves as friends. Everyone's posting photos of each other, posting photos of the cocktails. We always have a really fabulous, great time. So I'm really excited to see what happens next with this. And I'm really excited to kind of talk about the lineup. We have a lot of people on the restaurant end and on the distribution end that are excited about this program, are diving into it. So believe it or not, I am booked up until May. So we have kind of the outline of where we're going to be from now until May. So the first event is actually going to be at the Rare Bit in Dobbs Ferry. And that's, of course, this month's event. And that is going to be Tuesday, January 21st. It's always the third Tuesday in January at 7 p.m. at the Rare Bit in Dobbs Ferry. And we are going to be celebrating and exploring Allegiant Bourbon. Now, Allegiant Bourbon is a Kentucky straight bourbon whiskey, partially finished in wine and sherry casks. And we're going to talk about why this is important and why we want to do something like this. And this is a bourbon that really pushes the boundaries for how bourbons can be created while remaining true to the core of bourbon's principles. And again, this is all things we're going to kind of dive into. And I'm really excited to try the Allegiant bourbon. I will tell you, it's not one that I have explored yet. There are very many cool cocktails you can make with it. And you know what? I want everyone to leave empowered, knowing a little bit more about bourbon, knowing a little bit more about the brand. And then, of course, if you're someone that, you know, goes out a lot and is looking for a new cocktail, or you maybe you're entertaining at home, I want you to be able to feel comfortable enough to go to the store, purchase that specific spirit, and be able to make it with those cocktail recipes that we send you home with. So I'm really excited about this one. So again, that's going to be January 21st. It's a Tuesday. Tickets are on sale now. You can visit intoxicate.com. It's right there. I'm introducing the Intoxicate Cocktails Club. You can the tickets link is right there, and it's $40 per person. Now, keep in mind, with every ticket sale for an Intoxicate event, we eat, everyone eats. And you know, Feeding Westchester is my heart charity. So for every ticket sale of an Intoxicate event, $5 is donated to Feeding Westchester. So the magicians there and the volunteers at work at Feeding Westchester magically turn that money into $20 worth of meals to the 1 in 5 people in Westchester County who are food insecure. So again, we eat, everyone eats, and we're going to have a really great time. So again, tickets on sale, intoxicate.com. We're introducing Intoxicate's Cocktail Club. If you click on that link, you will find the ticket link to purchase tickets. And I want to kind of tell you about what's to come with it, because again, I'm really, really excited about it. You know, obviously January is the rare bit with Legit Bourbon. February, I have something coming up, which I'm going to dive into. So I'm going to hold off on telling you about February, because I think that's going to be a fun one. In March, we're going to be at Villa Italia in Stamford. We're waiting to hear about the spirit wine or beer that we're going to be highlighting there. In April, that's going to be the 21st, we're going to be exploring gin with Gunpowder Gin at Hudson Social in Dobbs Ferry. And then also in May, we're going to be headed over to the 808 Bistro. So lots of really fun things going on there, talking about all different types of spirits, wine, and beer. It's going to be a really great time, so I hope to see you there. We have a great show lined up. You want to stick around. Keep it locked right here. You're listening to Fork This with Intoxicate on 1490 WGCH. Welcome back to Fork This with Intoxicate. I am, of course, your host, Intoxicate Kate Slunts, diving into all things delicious in Westchester and Fairfield counties. And in the last segment, I was telling you about this amazing new Intoxicate Cocktail Club that I am launching in 2020, which is a once-a-month cocktail club that kind of pops up in various restaurants in Westchester and Fairfield counties. And we are drinking outside of the box. Through both a cocktail demo or tasting, you are exploring new spirit brands, wines, and beers. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. You're going to learn how to make cocktails if we're looking at a specific wine or a spirit. You're going to taste wines. You're going to taste beers. You're going to learn about pairing. And basically what we are doing is kind of making you a little bit more dangerous, a little bit more informed when it comes to going out. I want you, again, to drink outside the box. You know, very often we kind of got caught in these routines and we go to the bar or go to our favorite restaurant and we order the same cocktail every single time. And there is so much innovation out there. So this is to kind of keep you abreast of all of the trends going on in the cocktail industry, in the spirits world. And also, it's to get you to maybe try something new and stay on top of the innovation and be informed about what's out there. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Again, our first event is Tuesday, January 21st. It is going to be Legit Bourbon that we're going to be trying at the Rare Bit in Dobbs Ferry. It is $40 per person, and tickets are on sale now. We only have 25 spots available. We're keeping this nice, small, and intimate. So you have to head to intoxicate.com to pick up your tickets. We've already had some ticket sales just by me posting on Facebook. So my email goes out shortly. The Rare Bit, I know, is going to be promoting on their end. So make sure if you're interested, you book now, January 21st at 7 p.m. at the Rare Bit in Dobbs Ferry. Now, the fun, innovation, engaging events do not end there. If you were listening to the last segment, if you've been listening to the show, I have been working really hard to come up with some really cool events and opportunities to learn more and taste more in our area for the past couple of weeks. I really try to kind of do things that are a little bit different so you're not, you know, offering the same thing over and over again. So I try to switch it up a lot. The Cocktail Club is something I am super excited and proud of. And we have some really cool events going on in February and March, in addition to the cocktail clubs. In February 11th, I'm pulling out all of my paperwork and my notes. I am really excited to be working again with Becky at Bloomingdale's in White Plains on a very cool event. We're going to be doing a cocktail party, which is going to be part cocktail party with past appetizers and really amazing sparkling wines. And we're also going to be kind of exploring fashion a little bit, which, you know, I love killing two birds with one stone and learning about new things. But we are going to be kind of celebrating all that sparkles in 2020. And they're going to be showing some sparkly makeup, some sequence clothes, some really amazing jewelry from some of their top brands, and kind of this, I want to say, like pop-up, format where you can kind of dive into different things. And then, of course, we're going to be having this amazing cocktail party in their beautiful restaurant. If you haven't been, you have to go. It is so, so gorgeous, and it's the perfect backdrop for very fun events. So you have to stay tuned for that. That's going to be $50 per person because we're working with a really cool Prosecco brand, which I can't wait to tell you all about. And in addition to having these cocktail clubs and, you know, all of these things going on, I, of course, am going to be inviting my collaborators on the show. So if you can't make the event, you can still learn about all the amazing things going on and everything, the innovation that's out there. So basically, stay tuned for that on Fork This with Intoxicate. But this event at Bloomingdale's is going to be really fabulous, and we should have the Eventbrite link for that shortly. Also coming up, I'm excited to be working with Melissa Tomlin, who has this amazing 914 pop-up. She's going to come on the show to talk about that. We are bringing back progressive dinners. I'm doing all these throwbacks to the really cool things we used to do and we don't do anymore, with the cocktail hours and the progressive dinners. But the progressive dinner, I think, is going to be very fun. So a progressive dinner is kind of a dinner party with successive courses prepared and eaten at usually different residences by different hosts. So you kind of go, you have one course at one location, you travel to the next, and you have a different course at the next location. It's kind of almost like a potluck dinner. It's also kind of known as round robin, but it's an alternative to having a different course at a different dining area to kind of be a little bit more fun. So I really love this idea. It's, you know, very, very popular. Usually there's a theme going on, like an Italian or German or French theme. We are still solidifying, but I'm pretty sure we're going to be working with Chef Scott Frantangelo and Heather Frantangelo of L'Anizio on an amazing progressive dinner. And the, you know, obviously you have to go from one place to the next. So I don't know if you guys have been there yet or if you've been in the market, but the Premier Collection just opened up this incredible space in Elmsford, New York. It's kind of like on the outskirts of White Plains. And it is a really cool car dealership that has these high-end brands like Subaru and Lincoln and Volvo in this amazing dealership where it's kind of segmented into three different spaces. And it's so cool the way that they've done this, that we were thinking, you know, Melissa and I went there and we were like, we have to have an event here. It's so cool. So we thought it would be interesting to kind of do this progressive dinner. So you would go from one space to the next, having your kind of cocktail hour, and then maybe sitting down to a seated dinner and then enjoying some really amazing desserts, and then having these experiences in these three spaces. So I'm really excited for that as well. I really kind of love doing these like old nods to what we used to do to kind of sit down and socialize and be fun, and kind of encouraging more people to go out and about and do things together. Always, you know, invites really entertaining conversation. And you know what? I have to say that is the magic of food. Everyone can sit down and have a conversation about food, no matter your politics, no matter your backgrounds. You know, everyone gets along talking about food and cocktails. You know, even when you're arguing over your favorite pizza place or your favorite restaurant, you know, it's really interesting to kind of dive in and have those conversations. So I'm excited for that as well. Again, that is going to be March 12th. That's a Thursday at the Premier Collection. So, of course, we'll be getting tickets up on intoxicate.com for that as well. So lots of really fun ways to kind of engage, to get involved, to meet new people, to hang out with yours truly, and do some really cool things, and to try a different style of eating, of drinking, and all do that through an exploration of what is very cool and what is local. So we are going to have a lot of fun with this, and I'm really looking forward to it. Stick around, because up next, we are going to be diving into more things delicious right here on Fork This with Intoxicate. You're listening to 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com. Welcome back to Fork This with Intoxicate. I am your host, Intoxicate Kate Slunz, diving into all things delicious in Westchester, Fairfield counties, and beyond. And right now, I am in the Poconos. You know I talk about the Poconos a lot. I'm at my beloved Lords Valley Country Club, talking with Executive Chef Daniel Goulet. How are you?
Very well. How are you?
I'm doing well. And I'm very excited to be sitting down with you today. And we're going to be talking about this new venture that you're doing, because I think it's really exciting. But I first want to talk to you really briefly about how long you've been a chef.
Sure. I started my career actually at the age of 15 working in restaurants, and I'm 38 now, so quite a long time. It's been a long adventure, and still plugging away at it and loving what I do every day.
I love what you do every day too, I have
to say.
Yeah. You keep me here. We talk about that all the time. And one of the things I really like about you is that you are very hands-on with a lot of the things that you do here. You're making a lot of things handmade. Mm-hmm. And I also really like that you can pretty much do anything. I feel like some days I come in here and the scallops are amazing, and the next day I come in and the chicken parm's awesome. But then you're doing things like Asian food, and you're doing sushi. So can you talk a little bit about like what your, or how you were trained, and maybe what your favorite cuisine is to kind of work with in the kitchen?
Sure. So I don't really have a favorite cuisine, but one of the things that I wanted to do my whole life was I just wanted to be a well-rounded chef. And so really understanding different ethnic foods, different cultures all over the world, and really trying to hone in on 3 to 4 dishes of those ethnicities and more. Obviously, it's very vast. But just being able to master the craft and be able to make different stuff. If I had to say, I really love Asian food, but I really love other things, like artisan things that are kind of handmade, but also a lost art, things that chefs aren't really able to do anymore, that they rely on other people to do for them. I think that's something that's kind of getting lost in the shuffle in the food business, where, you know, for example, smoked salmon or gravlax, chefs don't really educate or want to educate themselves on how to make it because it's so easy to purchase from a big box vendor. Mm-hmm. So,
well, I love that you're hands-on about
Thank
that.
You.
And I will say, you pretty much catered our wedding, right?
Yes.
And it's pretty much everything. Everyone talks about the wedding as the food, right? Everyone's like, oh my God, the food at your wedding. And I think that's different than a lot of people's weddings, because I think the food is sometimes secondary, right? And I will say the one thing that I remembered after the wedding, and I hope you remember this too, is that we were at brunch with everyone the next day, and you came over and you handed Christian and I this like little package wrapped in paper. And I opened it up, and it's like literally my favorite thing on earth. The listeners will know what it is, but it was the sausage, right? Do you remember that?
I do remember it, yeah. Yeah, so it was something that that we were playing along with here. For the last few years, I really wanted to develop, just master the craft of charcuterie, making homemade sausages, understanding the curing, the aging process, obviously the seasonings that go into it, and how you can get unique different flavors from that stuff. So I definitely remember that. I remember putting that out on your wedding, and you know, I'm glad you enjoy it.
Well, we were really excited because I will say, you know, everyone says this, and I didn't believe that it would happen for me because I'm an eater, but everyone's like, you're not going to hardly get any food, right? Because you're all over the place. You're entertaining. Yeah. And I'm like, no. And thank God someone on staff literally like brought me over a plate of food because I was all over the place and I did have to sit down. But I was so glad that I got the sausages because, one, it's my favorite.
Yeah.
And, two, I missed them during the wedding.
Yeah.
So it was a really nice gift for us because we actually didn't have anything in the refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was kind of nice to have, and I absolutely loved it. And then you recently launched a new business, okay? So you're kind of venturing into something else. You have Forestier LLC. Tell me a little bit about what you're doing with this.
Sure, absolutely. So for the longest time, my wife obviously saw these hidden talents, and you know, I knew they were there, but very busy working at the club. Just making different sausages and different delights, different desserts and things like that, chocolates and condiments. So one of the things that we wanted to do was start a small little business on some commercial property where we're making some smoke-dried cured sausages and just different flavor profiles, packaging them nicely, and able to ship them off in gift boxes for people during holidays or special events in their life. And it's been somewhat successful, and we're just trying to launch something and let it grow.
Well, it's very exciting when you told me, because you told me and you were asking me to take a look at the website,
mm-hmm.
and I immediately made a purchase because I know you, so
yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
I know, but I'll tell you why I did, and we'll be very like honest right now. One, I know what you can do. I've had your sausages before. I know they're delicious.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the perfect gift, like the one thing I was missing for my dad. You know, we do always like a food thing, and I had bought him some other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, this is perfect. And he loves your food too. So it was like just all around a win-win.
Thank you.
I want to dive into specifically what you're offering on the website. So can you talk a little bit about the specific products?
Yeah, so our smoked sausage line, we're just developing different flavors, but right now we have a couple traditional smoked, dried, cured sausages. They are somewhat shelf-stable if you know how to work with them, but they do come in a package. We do have a label on the box that says it is a perishable food item. Because it is fresh and all natural, there is potential for it to spoil, but most of the time people eat it pretty quickly and it's gone, doesn't have time for that. We're making a variety of different types of condiments. We have mustards, some relishes. We have a truffle olive tapenade, something that's very dear to me. I'm Pennsylvania Dutch, my family, so we make a Pennsylvania chow chow, and it's essentially pickled late fall vegetables with vinegar and sugar and salt, and essentially it's a preserved product. It'll last a very long time. And I love the products. They speak to me personally because they're all handmade. They're all just all natural, gluten-free products. So
I'm in. And they're also delicious. Why the name?
So Forestier, originally, it's obviously a French-Italian style name, and there's meanings behind it. It essentially means the woodsman.
Mm-hmm.
And Forestier, for me, I'm a hunter. So I love being out in the woods. I forage for mushrooms. We have a pretty decent piece of property at our house that we hunt on and stuff. And I originally opened up the business as a side business butchering deer. and doing meat fabrications. And so when I started to understand the art of making sausages and stuff, I wanted to kind of carry that name through because it seems nice, it seems appropriate. And because we're trying to grow some of the vegetables and things of that nature, we're doing it like they did in the forest.
I love that. I love the name. I have to say, I didn't know. And I want to talk to you because I know you've been, you said, a chef for quite some time. Mm-hmm. And moving into kind of food producing, how is it different? And what are some of the things that you kind of ran into that you were not expecting maybe?
Sure, absolutely. So trying to make food for food production for other places to use it. That's a big issue. It's not necessarily an issue, but there's time management involved. There's ingredients, there's materials involved. So one of the things that me and my wife have been trying to do with the business is really make everything handcrafted to the best and perfect to our ability. Mm-hmm. And really just trying to make something that's a good product and not really overwhelming ourselves with how much and how much volume we're doing, but making something good for people. And I think it's a really good outlet out there because there are people and chefs and restaurants and establishments that aren't able to make this stuff. And so it kind of fits you into a little niche that if you can make it for them and it's readily available, then you win.
I mean, what are the types of things that you have to have in a kitchen to pull something like this off?
Sure. So in our commercial kitchen, we have a smoker, we have a meat grinder, some food processors, something called a buffalo chopper. We also have a commercial stove in there. Obviously, we need all of the sinks for ware wash and things of that nature. Really, it's about a clean environment. So keeping everything clean, organized, labeled, refrigerators, some freezer space. You don't need a large amount of stuff. And again, you know, as the orders get large and we start doing more volume, who knows what might happen. But right now, it's working out really well.
And how long does it take to make a sausage? Because you know, like, I'm dying to get in there and just watch you do it.
Sure. Yeah, no, it actually is not that long at all. So we start out by taking a pork shoulder. They call it a pork butt. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's a very neutral flavor to pork and a nice amount of fat to meat ratio. So it's perfect for sausage making. The sausage will ensure to be moist with the amount of fat in the pork butt. We cut it up, we grind it. That doesn't take very long. Once it's ground, we put it into a machine where it gets mixed and the emulsification happens. The emulsification is very important. A lot of chefs, when they make sausages, don't mix it enough. And what ends up happening is it is grainy or crumbly in the casing. So the emulsification between the fat and the protein is what really ensures that really nice texture to the smoked sausage. So once the meat is seasoned and put into the mixing bowl, we then got to taste it. So you always have to taste the sausage before it goes into the casing. Once it's in the casing, there's no going back. Mm-hmm. And then you waste food. So we taste it, make sure the flavor profile is correct, and then we put it into our sausage press. And we do a couple different diameters. We use a hog casing and a sheep casing. The sheep is going to be a little thinner for like a smoke stick, like a camping or hiking snack, if you will. And then the other one's a little bit fatter. And basically they smoke and then air dry till they're nice and dry and kind of the texture of the skin shrivels up. If you know about smoked sausages, that real snappy skin on the outside, that's really what you're looking for. And the process really is about 8 hours. Mm-hmm. To make a decent batch.
And to talk about you in comparison to some of the bigger guys out there, mm-hmm. what would you say makes you different if someone's thinking about getting like a foodie gift for someone or, you know, wants to, like you mentioned, go hiking and looking for a great snack?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things I love that we do is we customize a lot of stuff. So if somebody wants something special, all they have to do is hit us up on the website. And my wife, she does a lot with the technology part of it. And so if somebody wants something special, all they have to do is just mention that they want a certain flavor profile or they want to surprise someone with something. And we're able to do that. So it's not like we're making 100-pound batches of sausage and there's no wiggle room. We can manipulate it and change things and change flavor profiles and add unique stuff to it. Mm-hmm. We're actually just launching something, still kind of coming up with a name for it, but it's going to be a maple cheddar smoky. So it's a smoked snack stick that has maple and aged cheddar in it, and I'm trying to use some local sustainable products in the sausage. And it'll have a nice flavor profile for people, somebody who doesn't like spicy or, you know, just the traditional. It's just different. So,
well, if you need a taste tester, you know where. Perfect. Like, I'm going to just add that to my list of credentials, like taste tester. And you mentioned your wife,
Yes. Which
I love that you're doing this together. How did that all kind of come about? You mentioned it a little bit before that she was kind of pushing you to do it. Like, how do you guys manage and wear these different hats at home?
Yeah. So, I am a chef at a country club. My wife is an online educator, and she really was pushing me to do this, just seeing the skill and the talent and loving the food, obviously, the product. One of the things for us is just working together helps us to get closer together. And, working a lot as a chef in the off season here, I'm able to kind of produce and do things with her. And we've gotten our two kids involved, which is really awesome. And the kids are starting to learn business ethics and understanding that it's not all about play. And sometimes we got to get down. So I love having my kids in the kitchen with me and helping me make some sausages. So. It's great.
I love that it's like a whole family affair.
Yeah.
And again, you know, moving from being a chef to kind of moving into this whole food production mm-hmm. business, did you feel like, you know, it was more difficult than you thought it was going to be? Was it, you know, some roadblocks that kind of surprised you or came up?
Yeah, there's definitely some roadblocks. As a small business, there's obviously licensing and permits that happen. There's obviously the supply and demand of, for example, the margins of in which you want to make money, mm-hmm. and then the packaging and the labeling that goes involved. They're all key things that you really have to think about. And so in the beginning, it wasn't really that important for us to be making money. It was just really about establishing something, launching something that we were passionate about and that we cared so much about. But certainly there's always things that kind of come into play with it, but you just kind of make adjustments and figure out what you need to do to make things better and push forward.
Well, I love it because I feel like you're very reasonably priced, first mm-hmm. of all. And then it's also this artisan and chef made and hands on.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that you brought that up because I think a lot of people, especially in the food world, lose sight of how much things really cost mm-hmm. and how many things go into it, right?
Yeah.
Like, so you always get people that'll go out to a restaurant and be like, oh, I can make this for $5 at home. Why is it so much here?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
And they're losing sight of mm-hmm. rent and paying staff and service and all that fun stuff. So I'm glad that you did bring that up with the packaging and the shipping and everything, because it does take a lot to of put a product out there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. The packaging and the labeling seems to sometimes cost more than the actual product itself. The fun part is making the product and tasting it and getting recipes perfect. Sometimes you have to make a recipe 3 or 4 times before it comes out exactly what you want. Mm-hmm. But then when you start putting things into packaging and labeling and then the boxing and the shipping, it certainly, it adds on to the plate. And, like I said, we're not really in the business to try and make tons of money with it. We're just trying to establish something that we can have a legacy for our children and us to do. So,
and I also like that you've put so much thought into the packaging, because you and I were speaking before we kind of hopped on air about some of the things that you've been doing. And some of it I saw because my dad still had some things together. But I know it comes so beautifully packaged. Can you talk about some of the things that you've specifically done to kind of make it a little bit specialized?
Yeah. So all of the labels my wife basically, made on the computer with different graphic design and things of that nature that play the part of the forestier, the woodsman theme. So you'll see a nice white-tailed buck on the front, and it kind of has this like rustic feel to it with a bamboo plate, and the smoked sausage is sitting there, and then we do vacuum seal them for freshness. Because it is a perishable product, we do recommend that people refrigerate it a few days after receiving, unless they leave it sit out and let it kind of air dry nicely. But it'll last up to 3-4 weeks in the refrigerator packaged nice. And really, it's the kind of food that people can cook with, and they can also eat it with crackers and cheese. It goes well with many different things. I have some Spanish friends who like to make paella and different stuff with the sausage. We make a really spicy one, the ghost chili, which is great. You should try that one out. And it works out well, but the packaging is just very unique in itself. Years ago, I worked for a chef in New York City, and the way he presented the food sometimes was in a trophy manner. It made the food look so much more elegant the way it was presented and displayed to the people at the table. And I feel like the way we package the food makes you enjoy it before you've even tasted it, mm-hmm. you know, because you're looking at something and the clear jars, you get to see all the ingredients nicely. One of the coolest things about the one sausage we do is called the snack pack. We have a little tin of a homemade Bavarian honey mustard, and we serve a little bamboo fork with the sliced sausage vacuum sealed. So it's perfect for somebody who's going away on a traveling, camping trip, hunting, hiking, fishing, and they could just open the package and eat right out on the bamboo plate. So
it's my next road trip. I'm just gonna, order from you. So how, I know we've enticed everybody, how can they order from you?
Sure. So we do have an Etsy page. It's Forest Deer. And we also have the website, which is www.forestdeerdelights.com. And you could go right there. We offer free shipping. Through the holidays, we had a lot of neat deals. So we're always putting new products up online. So come and check us out.
And I'll make sure to share a photo on my platforms and then tag you so everybody can see your social media accounts and start following you there.
Thank you so much.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on today's show. It's great to have you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have to take a quick break. You're listening to Fork This with Intoxicate on 1490 WGCA. Welcome back to Fork This with Intoxicate. I am your host, Intoxicate Kate Slentz. And of course, we dive into all things delicious every Tuesday at 6 p.m. right here on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com. You know, the Chinese New Year is rapidly approaching. It is kicks off January 25th, and it is officially the year of the rat, which, you know, to most of us, I think, probably doesn't sound that fabulous because we generally have a negative connotation of rats these days. But in Chinese culture, rats were seen as a sign of wealth and surplus. Also because of their reproduction rate, because they can reproduce fairly quickly, married couples also prayed to them for children. So it is the year of the rat. It's 2020. So many fun things going on there. However, it's really exciting because generally we have these Chinese New Year celebrations in some of our restaurants. And tomorrow I will be visiting one of my favorite places to kind of dive into some really great Chinese Mandarin food at O Mandarin. Really excited for that. If you have not been to O Mandarin yet, it is really fabulous. It's in Hartsdale on Central Avenue. And I think, you know, you might pass it by. There's an H Mart right near, kind of connected to it in the same plaza. And I think sometimes people, when they see a restaurant in the plaza, they immediately kind of pass it by. But you literally step into that restaurant and you are transported to China. It is beautiful inside and out. The food is incredible. It is one of my favorite places to go. I happen to love the dim sum there. They have scallion bubble pancakes that I love. They have Szechuan wontons that are my absolute favorite with just enough spice. It's a pork and shrimp wonton with this Szechuan chili broth. It's delicious. They have soup dumplings with minced pork and ginger. So many really delicious dim sum appetizers there. And then also some cold appetizers that I love, like the lotus root and sticky rice. I happen to love the jellyfish, which Peter, the owner there, got me to try for the first time. This grandma's steamed buns are amazing. The Mandarin glazed spare ribs. I can go on and on and on. And that's just the appetizer menu. But I'm headed there tomorrow to meet with Peter and some other media professionals to talk about Chinese New Year and what they're doing to celebrate, specifically O Mandarin, and the dishes that they're particularly going to be having on the menu for this event. So I definitely will relay all that information back to you. I think it's always just a kind of fun way to celebrate something new, a different culture, and explore some new flavors that way. Sambal, Thai and Malaysian, in Irvington also does Chinese New Year specials. They generally run it for a couple of weeks. I'm waiting to hear from Navjot, Chef Navjot there, to talk about when he's going to be offering it. But generally, he offers these really amazing pork dumplings. He does chicken spring rolls. He does a Chinese broccoli, mushroom, and silken tofu dish that's really great for vegetarians. He last year had these lion's head beef meatballs because meatballs in Chinese culture represent family unity and abundance. That was fantastic. They had some bang bang longevity noodles with spiced lamb and a soy sauce duck. So again, waiting to hear about the exact dates finalized for both of those and the menu lineups. But I think, again, it's really a great idea, so I want to put it on your radar. I would love to hear where you go for Chinese New Year, if you go out for Chinese New Year, or just send me your favorite Chinese places. Always looking to kind of have that conversation and talk about who likes what and where you go. So definitely hit me up, Intoxicate Foodie, on Facebook and Instagram. I enjoyed the show. I am so excited for all of the New Year things to come in 2020. I hope to see you at one of these many events that I spoke about. And I want to thank Chef Dan Goulet for coming on the show to talk about his new venture, and wish him and his wife Jamie the best of luck with what they're doing. So that's it for today's show. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did, and I hope you tune in next week, Tuesday at 6 p.m. right here on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com. I hope you enjoy the rest of the week and live life deliciously.